Meeting will come to order, and we have a very small agenda this morning. House Bill 5017, State Fair and Exposition, Representative Johnson.
Thank you. House Bill 5017 is the budget bill for the Oregon State Fair and Exposition Center. The agency is responsible for the annual state fair and ongoing exposition events and receives operating revenues from these activities. The total budget is reduced 0.1% from the governor's budget as a result of standard adjustments for assessment rate reductions. Oregon State Fair facilities have not been adequately maintained for over 20 years. The 1999 legislature approved $10 million in lottery-backed bonds for emergency renovation of some facilities to return them to a standard level. The budget includes $2.4 million in lottery funds for debt service on these bonds. The budget is an increase of 9.9% above the 99.01 estimated expenditures as a result of debt service payment on these bonds. This budget does not include funds to support ongoing maintenance of these facilities. The 1999 legislature provided an operating subsidy of $698,697 general fund. The subsidy supports fair activities such as the agricultural exhibits and 4-H events that do not generate revenues. This budget increases the subsidy to $1.5 million to offset a decrease in operating revenue. The subsidy enables the fair to maintain current operations. The budget report directs the fair to continue collaboration with state and local partners, including county fairs. The collaboration is expected to increase support for the fair. The fair will also support the activities of the Community Partnership Task Force, which is appointed by legislative leadership. The task force will work to identify additional resources for the state fair. The fair will report on its progress in generating revenue to support operating costs during the 2003 budget presentation. The subcommittee recommends approval of a budget of $15,225,935 and 37.67 FTE.
Okay, thank you. Is there a discussion? Representative Hayden.
Mr. Chairman, a question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier.
Representative Johnson, was there any, what was the discussion, if any, of the horse facilities at the state fair? Racing and stables and shows and demonstrations.
Let me start by making the general statement that there was a lot of work by the subcommittee on this budget. And lots of conversations outside of the committee process in trying to help the new director identify resources and form partnerships. There was discussion of racing. Unfortunately, the building that the fans, that racing fans would sit in, have suffered profoundly from lack of maintenance and are no longer able to accommodate the public.
And
no public, no racing.
Mr. Chairman, another question. Representative Johnson or the chairman or the committee administrator, is there any possibility of partnerships being formed and funds being raised outside the general fund revenue stream to restore those stands and continue racing?
Representative Hayden, that's where the majority of the conversation at the committee level took place. I think that the director, as well as the committee, are acutely aware of the fact that revenues are being foregone by the lack of ability to accommodate the public. The director exhibited both in testimony as well as in private meetings with members of the subcommittee her profound interest in seeking relationships that will help generate funds that could be applied to that particular facility. Unfortunately, the spectrum of facilities have suffered from neglect. There was public testimony in the hearing from one of the horse associations, and when they were queried about their willingness to step up as a private association and think of innovative ways to help support equine-related activities at the fair, they evidenced a desire to work with the director to do so.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, a comment?
Yes.
I also was contacted by the horse association, and as we raise and trade horses, we have some interest in this also, although we've never shown at the state fairgrounds. However, many people do, and they're intensely interested in this. And there was some discussion, Mr. Chairman, of yet another license plate, a Kiger Mustang license plate, with proceeds to flow to this particular project.
Well, I'm not aware of it, but if it is, we'll certainly be glad to entertain it. Representative Patridge.
Hey, Mr. Chair, there's also some discussion brought up. We looked at their, we looked through their efficiency report audit that was done, and also something that was brought up by the auditor in the report of some of the horse people disagreed with was is that the stable fees and rates were charging people to house horses and things at the state fair as well are lower than comparable rates in the surrounding area substantially. And so that's also some more revenue to keep things up. But I think overall people were reluctant at best with this budget. Everyone's pleased with the new director, however, and feels like there's been a lot of mismanagement over the years, but have confidence in the new director and hopefully we can help turn part of the state fair around. But there is still substantial concern, I think, from the committee, but I think we pass this out to, because of motherhood and apple pie and good things that the state fair does as well.
Representative Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I might ask if there was any discussion in committee about selling off the assets of the Oregon State Fair and having the Oregon State Fair rotate amongst the counties as a mechanism to generate interest and more of it as a driving opportunity that counties could participate in on a rotating basis.
Representative Hill, there was substantial discussion on that subject. And the director, as well as representatives of some of the county fairs, indicated that there might only be one facility that would be able to tolerate the kinds of crowds that are generated by the state fair. And even then, there were questions about logistics. That site is in Senator Clarno's district and is a brand new facility right next to the Redmond Airport. But the general case that was made is that it is too uncertain for the exhibitors if the fair were on a rotating schedule, and most county facilities cannot accommodate the parking and the public safety and sanitary facilities that are required to accommodate crowds of the magnitude that attend the fairs. But there was lots of discussion on that subject.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Further yes. discussion. Senator Clarno.
Yes, I would just like to assure the committee that the state fair is most welcome in the new Deschutes County Fairgrounds. A $30 million bond that was just passed for the people to tax themselves for one of the finest fairgrounds in the state of Oregon. But we did thoroughly go through this with a fine-tooth comb, and I will tell you my first session in 89 sounds like the same session in 2001 regarding the state fair. And lots of discussion was held about the partnering that needs to occur to make this fair survive. The Oregon State Fair, for as long as I can remember, and actually I won a little blue ribbon for cookies one time when I was quite little. The Oregon State Fair is something none of us want to give up, but we've got to have more help from the county, the city, the surrounding area to make this survive. Certainly our county fairs do a lot more individually than what we've done in this area for the state fair. I think if it wasn't for the new director and having a lot of faith in her, some of us would have taken a different tactic with this budget. But we wish him the best, and I'm hoping that the next time I come back that we'll have a different picture. I've been hoping that for 10 years, and I hope next time we do have. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, sir. I just wanted to amplify Senator Clarno's comment. There was a considerable amount of discussion at the committee level about what constitutes the fair community and what responsibility Marion County and Salem have versus what responsibility the entire county fair system has to support what is, in effect, the jewel in their crown. And I think that the County Fair Association heard loud and clear that there is an expectation from the committee that worked on this, that county fairs will step up and do what they are able to do to support the state fair, so that that community of interest for the state fair now extends statewide.
Okay. Co-Chair Westman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Obviously, this is evidenced by our comments this morning. This budget drew a lot of attention. I'd like to compliment the subcommittee on their work. The entire subcommittee, but I'd like to single out Representative Butler, who really spent a lot of time and delved into the budget and did a good job bringing all parties together here, Tom. So I appreciate your work. However, I would like to challenge the statement that everyone supports and admires the new director. I mean, everyone?
On the committee, yeah.
Oh, on the committee. Oh, now you qualify. And parliamentary.
You're saying you don't support, you don't admire and support the new director?
Are you unpleased with their work? Recognized. And I did hear in Senator Clarno's statement a motion, didn't I, to move the state fair?
Yes.
Was that a motion?
Yes, yes, it was. Just kidding, Katie.
I can see we're going nowhere fast. I want to commend the committee also for your work. The state fair has been an issue for quite some time. It continues to be each session. In my 28 years here, the state fair has been an issue. It was a premier fair on the West Coast at one time. And I think a lot of it has been concern on the part of legislators that the city of Salem, Marion County, have not shared in the participation. It's come under a great deal of criticism in the local community by citizens in the community, but it has not received the support that it perhaps deserves from the local community, the city of Salem, Marion County, its citizens, and the legislature. So it's a partnership that all of us need to share in. I would hope that my newer colleagues, as they come on board of Ways and Means, will look at the state fair and hopefully support it as a legacy for all of Oregon. Agriculture is important to this state. State fair is an example of displaying those agriculture products. And I think we need to reemphasize and reconcentrate our efforts on agriculture in this state and emphasize the importance of whether it's livestock or whether it's animals or whether it's food or crops. I think we need to emphasize the importance of agriculture in this state. In our higher education budget, we're going to be talking about statewide services, extension services, OSU and its participation. And I think agriculture needs to be recognized for the importance that it plays in the state. The state fair is that showcase. And it would be my sincere hope that some of you in the future we'll be able to find a better means of supporting the state fair that it once again becomes the showcase that it used to be. And I believe with the new director, it's headed in that direction. And I will not bother to tell you this story about how she became known as the pig lady, but Ms. Cannon is doing a good job, and I want to commend her also. Is there a further comment, Senator Duke?
Actually, I had a question. I apologize that I missed it, but I heard discussion going on about racing, and my question is simply, is there still going to be racing at the state fair?
No.
Senator Duke, no.
No. Then my next question is, how does that impact the county fairs? I have a county fair that has racing, and my understanding was they sort of move along on the schedule and end up at the state fair.
You'll be discussing that momentarily in House Bill 53.
I wondered if it somehow, okay. So do I need to vote no on this budget in order to protect myself at home?
No, you'll be addressing that in the next budget.
Okay.
Senator Yee.
The state is putting in $3.7 million every biennium to help keep up with the state fair. I have a lot of concerns about whether local governments are contributing their share. I discussed my concern with chair of the subcommittee, Representative Butler, whether we should increase some hotel motel tax or see more local government contributions. And we had a subcommittee that discussed these issues. We understand that they cannot increase hotel motel tax. It is under the state regulation, and they are close to the max they can levy. And I did finally realize that they did put in public infrastructure work and put in law enforcement during the fair time, so they did contribute toward their share of assisting the state fair. So, and after all, it is like what the co-chair said, that it is to promote Oregon products and help youth with the kind of constructive activities we like to see. So I am a supporter now and be happy to urge your support.
Representative Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Just wanted to basically echo your remarks. I think this budget has come a long way in the 5 years I've been in the state legislature. There were some very, very, very serious problems in my first session, and I think the legislature has slowly but surely stepped up to the plate and started to craft some solutions, and we have had some trouble, I think, with the local jurisdictions in terms of getting exactly where we need to be in terms of matching that, and I know there's a great deal of controversy there, but I, for one, have a lot of confidence in the new director, and I have a lot of confidence in what the direction they're going at this point in time. I would two comments, if I may. One is that I strongly agree that the focus of this fair should continue to be, as the co-chair says, our ag and natural resources. I see Multnomah County where they've gone away from that, and they have no fair anymore. And people want to get a little better. They want to get a little fancier. They want to take advantage of the technology and the changing Oregon state. That's not what this fair is all about. That's not what I think our local fairs are about. And we have to think about this very carefully. And I know they've done that in their mission statement. They're being thoughtful and progressive without giving up our heritage. And that's very, very, very critical to the ongoing of this fair. I also have a concern about the racing industry. I used to work the backside of that track 20 years ago. And it did have problems, obviously, 20 years ago. And I'm sorry to see that racing will not continue there, at least under the same auspices. But I am heartened that the Horsemen's Association and the track and the fair are still willing to talk about that, and if there is a financial way to go about it, they will do it. And this is a business we're running. That's the real world, and so we have to do it business-like. And at this point, that doesn't quite pencil out, but I would hope that Ms. Concannon and the fair board would continue to entertain that as a possibility. Should that come about, we can put all our dot all the I's and cross all the T's and make that real again, and I'll do my best to make sure that that does happen. Thank you.
Okay. Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, a question.
Representative Hayden.
As there will be no horse racing, will there be horse shows, 4-H horse shows, as well as cattle and sheep and geese? And
Representative Johnson?
Representative Hayden, there will be.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there further discussion? The motion is to pass House Bill 5017 as amended to the House with a do-pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? Senator Miller will be recorded as voting no. Is there further discussion or objection? If not, it has passed. House Bill 5037, Senator Yee.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This is the Oregon Racing Commission. House Bill 1537 is the budget bill for the Oregon Racing Commission. The Racing Commission regulates all aspects of racing in Oregon, including live and simulcast horse and greyhound race meets, off-track betting facilities, and wagering through three interstate wagering hubs that are located in Oregon. The commission also licenses race participants, including Oregon hub operators. The commission receives revenue from the state share of paramutual receipts from the race meets and the hubs, from licensees and fees, and from unclaimed winnings. The governor's recommended budget is reduced by $212,928. Including standard assessment rate reductions and a $200,000 reduction in the budget package that distributes hub revenues. The reduction reflects current estimates of hub revenues. The recommended budget is 5.2% below the governor's budget. The governor's budget assumes a $500,000 revenue transfer to the general fund. The subcommittee was concerned about the accuracy of revenue projections and directed the commission to maintain a six-month ending balance. The commission will report to the emergency board on its actual revenues, expenditures, and transfers. If the revenues is insufficient to meet the general fund transfer obligation, the commission will prepare a budget reduction plan. The commission will also report comparative data on the share of wagering receipts collected by adjoining states. The subcommittee recommends approval of an other funds expenditure limitation of $3,898,643.17.68 FTE. I urge your approval.
Is there a discussion? All right, the motion is Senator Yee.
Mr. Chairman, to answer Senator Duke's question, the race commission will assist small horse racing in 17 counties.
Senator Duke.
But reading through this budget, it appears that they're going to have trouble or could conceivably have problems keeping themselves going. How are they going to help the local counties?
Well, they are making enough money that one-third of their $1 million receipt will go to general fund, two-thirds of the $1 million will go to operating expenses and assist small needs around the state, and there are 17 of them they plan to assist, depending on application. Five sites that they will assist in. Grants Pass, Prineview, Tillamook, Union, Burns, five of them.
Okay, and they'll give them money?
They have to apply for the funds. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Let the record show that Senator Tim says porcupine races and burns are being protected. And there will be pari-mutuel betting on porcupine races at 4 o'clock this afternoon. The betting windows will open. All right. Is there further discussion?
That was not discussed in committee.
Oh. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Just one small item, and that is that relative to racing in the state of Oregon, it is a requirement that we have racing in connection with our state fairs program and that the state has some kind of racing. And some kind of racing will continue. It might be turkeys and it might be porcupines, but there will be racing in the state of Oregon.
Okay, is there further discussion? All right, the motion is by Senator Yee that House Bill 5037, as amended, be reported out to the House with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. Other bills reported out of subcommittee, House Bill 2178, A, engrossed.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2178 proposes that two 21-day trip permits in a 12-month period be allowed for all light vehicles. A light vehicle is a vehicle with a combined weight of less than 8,001 pounds. Currently, trip permits are allowed for various lengths of time, from 10 to 120 days. This legislation addresses a concern that some people may be avoiding the Department of Environmental Quality vehicle emissions testing by operating a vehicle on consecutive trip permits. House Bill 2178 authorizes the Driver and Motor Vehicles Division to create a tracking system to ensure the number of trip permits issued does not exceed the limit allowed for a particular vehicle. The bill also requires a statement of insurance coverage for recreational vehicles and allows movement of special use trailers with a heavy vehicle permit. The bill changes the current fee from a variable amount of $5 to $40 to a universal 21-day trip permit fee of $20. Overall, the change is estimated to increase revenue in the 2001-03 biennium by $768,000 and over $1 million in 2003-2005.
Workload at the Driver Motor Vehicles Division is expected to decrease by the equivalent of one FTE as a result of the decreased number of trip permits currently purchased as a means of circumventing the vehicle emissions law. The Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development recommends the approval of House Bill 2178, the A engrossed version.
Is there a discussion? Senator Dukes.
I just want to say this bill is way overdue, and I'm really glad to see it. It's been a problem for a long time, and increasing the fees and changing things around should help.
Is there further discussion? If not, the motion is on Representative Patridge's motion to recommend House Bill 2178 A engrossed out to the House with a do pass recommendation. Is there objection? If not, the chair will be recorded as voting no. The bill is reported out with a do pass recommendation. There is no other business before our committee. There are two announcements. One is that everybody will be receiving a memorandum shortly, if you've not received one, indicating that your presence is required in subcommittee action, because we are getting down to the appointed session where a work session requires that our members be present. One of our biggest problems is those that are not on full ways and means that are on the subcommittees, and they're considered voting members, and they're required there because of a quorum. And so I would recommend to our colleagues, I know we all have interest in bills and other subcommittees and committees and activities, constituents in our offices, but I would point out that your presence would be appreciated in the subcommittee action because of the importance of getting work completed. Because if you're not present in the hearing and understand what the issues are, then we have to spend time going over the issues and repeating ourselves in the work sessions. And it serves to delay action on some of the subcommittee activities. And I just encourage us to move along in a timely manner towards adjournment. The second announcement is that next Friday is Good Friday. The Senate is not meeting. Is the House meeting? The House is not meeting, so there will not be a full Ways and Means Committee next Friday. However, there will be a full committee meeting on Thursday morning at 8:30 a.m. So please put that on your agendas and make note of it, and we will adjourn and have everybody a nice speedy weekend, and report back on Monday cheerfully completing our work. Thank you. Announcements.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Just one quick item, and that is that we have been admonished by the co-chairs in the Transportation Development Subcommittee to please kick up this pace and get work out, and I have just called to the attention of the full committee today that all three issues which you considered here today are all kicked out of that committee. I've taken your heart, and we will continue to go forth and be good.
Afternoon too.
Yes, we do.
Bless you, and may your life be abundant, full of cheer. All right. Now, we are adjourned.